everyone. Welcome, welcome. Thank you for being here. It is really exciting today to be celebrating 15 years of fighting for workers while uplifting kosher restaurants. My name's Emma Goldblatt, and I'm a program manager at Uri Litzedek. And today we are so happy to be joined by Rabbi Dina Nyman, who is the founding rabbi of the Kehillah of Riverdale. Prior to this pulpit, Rabbi Nyman was the Mara Dotra, spiritual and halakhic leader of the Orthodox Minyan, Kehillat Orach Eliezer in Manhattan for 8 years. She's the head of the Gemara department at Sar Academy and has been educating students there for 10 years. She studied at Mikhlala at and Yeshiva University. She was a Drisha Fellow and learned in Nishmat's Mahon Gadova Nida program. She received her rabbinic ordination from Rabbi Professor Daniel Sperber and earned her certification in bioethics and medical humanities from the NYU Einstein Bioethics and Medical Humanities Certificate Program. She's a senior rabbinic fellow at the Shalom Hartman Institute in Jerusalem. She's extensive experience teaching and speaking in the Jewish community on topics ranging from bioethics to environmental law. She served on the board of the Halachic Organ Donor Society for more than 10 years and was the education committee chair for the Aguna Task Force. And she presently serves on the board of Uri Litzedek. We also have here Rabbi Dr. Shmuley Yanklowitz, who is the founder of Uri Litzedek and author of numerous books on Jewish ethics. And lastly, Eddie Chavez Calderon, who wholeheartedly dedicates himself to social justice work, a commitment he has had since his teen years. His personal journey, which involved overcoming obstacles and fighting for the rights of migrant communities across the United States, has shaped his unwavering dedication to justice. As a DACA recipient, Eddie intimately understands the challenges faced by immigrants, driving his belief that equal opportunities and rights should be accessible to all. Alongside his advocacy for immigrants, Eddie's journey led him to develop a profound connection with Judaism, inspired by Jewish tradition, teaching, and texts, and guided by Rabbi Shmuley Yanklowitz. Eddie converted to Judaism, intensifying his commitment to bringing justice and equity into reality. His Jewish identity provides him with a unique perspective on the daily struggles and systemic oppression faced by marginalized communities. Through advocacy and faith, he actively works to build bridges, challenging societal norms, and create a world that upholds the inherent dignity and rights of every individual, regardless of their background or circumstances. Drawing from personal experiences and the principles of his faith, he remains steadfast in his pursuit of a more just and compassionate society for all. And with that, why don't we have Rabbi Shmuley start us off?
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you so much. It's terrific to be with everyone, wherever you are in the world today. Emma, thank you. You're such a cherished member of our Uri Litzedek team. So thank you for being with us and for your warm intros. And it's great to be with my great colleague, Eddie Chavez Calderon, who's in the streets with me every day, marching and teaching and doing what we can. And Ellie, great to have you. Reb Eliezer, our great rabbinic intern here as well with us. And I'm happy to see Sammy Magid, who's one of our new compliance officers, who's doing a great job in New York. And to be here with my great teacher, Rav Dina, who has just been a rock of solidarity and great inspiration to me. And our amazing board member, Evan Farber, who has been here since the start of the Tav, and has been such a loyal and committed partner in this whole endeavor. And so many others. I see my colleague Isaac Blumenthal, also on the Uri Litzedek staff, and I see Rav Mel, who's also such a great inspiration in this, and so many others. So thank you all for being here. And I know people are trickling in and out, and our goal is to keep today to about 30 to 45 minutes. And feel free to type in the chat if you want to engage over there. I'm going to share a little bit, and then we'll hear also from Rav Dina and from Eddie, and to reflect a little bit and also look forward to the future in this massive endeavor that has had so many challenges and so many wins, and we're continuing to be optimistic and committed to the future. So for folks who are new to this, because I see many of our great or this is like campus fellows here as well, some of them at least, and others, let me remind us what this is all about. the Tavi Yosher ethical seal, which if you go to kosher restaurant, you will see in some of them restaurants and cave and just ethics in its treatment of employees. The TAV reinforces state and federal labor laws regarding restaurant workers' rights to standard compensation and fair treatment. And there are still, to this point, no requirements other than those required by the law. Let me bring in the voice of someone named Ricardo we met. I work 6 nights a week from 4 p.m. until closing. I get $6 an hour based on an 8-hour day, even though I often work 10 hours or more because my boss usually does not let me leave until about 2 a.m. I make just enough money to pay my rent and send some money home to my mother in Mexico. I think about people like Ricardo whenever we're out there in the work, enjoying dinner. The exploitation of labor has long been recognized as a transgression under the tenets of Jewish law, halakha. The Torah is clear that you should not oppress a hired servant. That's poor and needy from the Devarim. The Jewish sages, our sages, have compared the deprivation of a laborer's wages to the act of taking life. So why is this so important to us? The TAV was created to ensure the fulfillment of our obligation to follow just labor practices. Just as we certify that the food we eat is kosher with the hashgacha, so too must we certify that the labor law involved in the preparation of the food is alignment with Jewish ethics. So there's three parts to this: fair pay, fair time, and a safe work environment. All employees on pay must earn at least the minimum wage, which in places like California is rising higher and higher, but in other states is still very, very low, as is determined by local law, taking both wages and tips into account. Those hours have to be recorded in some kind of payroll system. Fair time, that they have the right to a day off of week, they have a Shabbat. Employees must be able to take breaks during the day, as everyone needs. And employees who work more than 40 hours are paid overtime. And then, of course, a safe environment free of harassment, abuse, and discrimination. So how do we do that? Well, we've got a certification process where we meet with the owner or the manager, and they ensure us that they have a system for tracking and administering pay and, you know, get their buy-in and their support for this partnership. And then we meet with employees also to build trust and relationships with them. And then we give them this seal that goes in their windows, and they get added to our website and online. They get free marketing. There's no pay to them. And with that free marketing, we promote that they're a part of this. And if they ever drop or don't meet clients, we don't announce that. We don't shame them. They're just dropped. And with those compliance checks, we meet with the owners and the workers to ensure that things are still being met. And of course, keeping confidentiality in place throughout. So a big part of this is that, yes, it's easy to say all people are created b'tzelem Elohim in the image of God. And yet it's easy to forget that when you're just hungry, you're just going to a work meeting or you're going out with your family. It's easy to forget that there's invisible people in the back room who, yes, maybe you know the person in the front who's serving and they seem really happy and having a great time, but the person in the back, who may be exploited, those invisible people are part of what the Torah asks us to be conscious of, and to save a life is to save a world. As a reminder, it says in Vayikra, the key word here is oshek, that you cannot take advantage of a worker. And it says in Devarim that this oshek applies to gerim, gerim meaning non-Jews in Jewish spaces. The Sefer Yira takes this very seriously, you know, and says, "Im ata rotzei lischor polim umetzat anim, yihyu anim b'nei beitecha, ach al tevaze otam." That if you see there's people you're paying and yet they're still poor, you have to do all you can not to shame them or degrade them. And what does that mean? It means that you have to pay their wages so that they can actually get by and live off that work. Okay, I'm gonna stop sharing here, although I've got many, many more slides. And I want to say that part of what starting the TAV was about for us was really Musar. Yes, we care about getting the wages paid. Yes, we care about the dignity of the workers. But a big part of it also is that One of the things Rabbi Yisrael Salanter taught us, the founder of Musar, is that every ritual has an ethical dimension behind it. And when we lose the ethical dimension underlying that ritual, the Ben Adam L'Chavero that's connected to the Ben Adam L'Makom, that we've lost something significant in the religious enterprise. And one example was, it's an example I think about all the time. He was washing his hands for bread, and his students noticed how little water he used. And they asked him after he made motzi, "Why did you use such a little water?" And he said, "Do you see that man up on the hill who's getting water from the well? Right? I'm aware that how much water I use impacts his work." Right? He could see the person behind the water. Or the other most famous one around not giving certification to a matzah factory because of how the women working there were being treated. So that's the idea behind this. And to be sure, even though we're here to celebrate our progress and our continuity, this has been enormously challenging. And there's been times myself where I've wanted to pause this and say, geez, can we really win on this? You know, let me name some of those challenges. It's really hard to find compliance officers, people who are willing to have those hard conversations. And it's really hard to do compliance from a distance when you make phone calls or you try to, you know, train people from a distance. And it's hard for people to go alone. It's also really hard to shift consumer habits. People are just accustomed to going to places they like to go to. And it's hard for them to, even if they care about this, to actually prioritize it. It's hard to build trust. It's hard to build trust with owners and managers who don't know us. It's hard to build trust with workers who feel vulnerable and afraid. There's also a ton of turnover in the restaurant industry, restaurants that are closing, or restaurants that are just struggling, not to mention the COVID factor. Then there's the fact that most liberal Jews, which is the bulk of American Jews, are not committed to keeping kosher. And most traditional Jews who are committed to keeping kosher might be skeptical of a new model that feels like kind of, oh, is this some kind of secular intrusion into our system of kashrut? Are we distorting what this is all about? And so there's many challenges we have to doing this really well. And yet, although there was a bunch of buzz around this 16 years ago by everybody who wanted to get in, everybody got out. And we're the only group globally that is working consistently on any form of certification process to ensure that kashrut and yashrut, that the ritual dimension of food ethics and the moral dimension are interconnected. And so there's so much more to say, but that's a little bit of the history of what this project is about. It's a little bit about the challenges and a little bit about the wins. Let me reflect on that and I'm going to pass it on. We've had so many wins over the years. Some of those wins have been directly for workers who, when we talked to the owner, if they were going to sign on to the TAV, they simply did the math. They did the math on what it would cost to raise the wages, like right in front of us with a calculator, and realized how much they'd have to spend more, and then tried to estimate if the new business they would get would be worth it. It was just bottom line. And we saw workers get paid more. Other cases where we got complaints and we addressed them. So those wins were real. There's also a win of the solidarity that workers who feel very alone and just see Jews as people who don't care about them now develop a relationship that when they see Jews, they say, those are people, I know there's people there who care about me. The Kiddush Hashem factor, that's that people say, oh, the Jews aren't just here to get what they want. They also see me, right? Then there's the benefit to the owners because we want to help owners too. It's hard to run a business. It's free marketing for them. And we hope that they can thrive as we shift those patterns. And then I think also really importantly is the consumer content. How many workers can we help? How can we build this? But the other part is, how do we shift the religious consciousness of American Jews such that when we eat food, we think to ourselves, who are the people behind this? How is the land affected? How are animals affected? How are workers affected? How is my health affected? That we have a deeper spiritual relationship to our food. And it might be that nobody ever shifts their buying patterns based on the TAV, but that they learn something from it and they change something in their own lifestyle based upon it. maybe a domestic worker, someone who works in their home, maybe someone in their business, maybe some of the things they buy from other places. So we see this as a spiritual revolution beyond just the business model of the top itself. Last thing I'll say in the passage of Ravdina, and I like to say this all the time, just because it's so central to my worldview, which is that when Adam and Chava, when Adam and Eve ate from Eitz Hadat Tovira, from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that gave the birth of moral consciousness. That is to say, the first act of food consumption recorded in the Torah is what gives birth to all human moral awareness, right? That is to say, we think of ourselves as moral based on how we vote. In such a hyper-politicized era, I vote for this person, I vote for that. That means I'm on the right side. It's a political worldview of what makes us moral, perhaps, right? But actually, the Torah is teaching us that our consumption is so central to the moral enterprise. What we consume, and in particular, what we eat. And our goal also is restoring the grandeur of kashrut. That kashrut, which is dismissed by the high majority of Jews, is irrelevant, out of date, it's out of touch, right? And we have a moral renaissance, a spiritual renaissance of what kashrut could ultimately be about. So friends, much more to share, and I'll be back later looking to the future. That's a few of my reflections on the past. I'm going to pass it on to Ur Litzedek board member and my friend and teacher, Rabbi Dina Nyman.
Yishakayach, Rav Shmuley, that was incredible in terms of your ability to really just outline what the Tava Yosher is, and then also give us a charge for the future and how we can make this an incredible enterprise. It already is such an incredible influence, but what you said was really necessary for us to hear, and the challenge is there. And I just want to say it's such an honor to be speaking this evening in celebration of the 15 years of the Tav. The Hashkacha, I like to call it Hashkacha. And I just also want to say hi, thank you also to Eddie Chavez Calderon and to Emma and to Rav Eli and to Evan, people who I'm just honored to be able to communicate about the beautiful things that Uri Litzedek does for the Olam. So I just wanted to start off with that. But in thinking about the celebration this evening, I always like to call Uri Litzedek a hashkacha. It is a kosher certification, and Rav Shmuley spoke about that. But this kashrut stamp of approval for places committed to ethical and halachic standards for workers' rights is critical. It's all been under, please know, the exceptional leadership and vision of Rav Shmuley Yankelevich. It's true. It's true that a lot of people have come on. Eddie does all the hard work running around, but the real guy, the real leader here has been Rav Shmuley, how we really just think about what this could be. And Eddie's influence, it's just been a remarkable thing to watch unfold. And I can't believe it's been 15 years. So just Rav Shmuley, I do want to say just that you've really championed not only this verification for workers' rights and human rights and animal rights, because I like to think also when we talk about the Tav, the food that is brought in and the way it's not only the way people are treated, but that just we expand what it means to keep our humanity intact. We look at every single creation of God. But in particular, it is to see each person, B'Tselem Elohim, in the image of God, as you spoke about. And we think about that we call it Tav HaYoshar. What does it mean to be yashar, to be upright? Moshe Rabbeinu tells our people in Devarim, in chapter 6, verse 18, Vasita yashar v'atov b'nei Hashem. You should do what is proper and good in the eyes of Hashem. And that really needs a lot of definition. And the Ramban, Nachmanides, explains in a very well-known piece that this pasuk creates the ethical and religious categories for mitzvot. There are so many different categories and proper behaviors in so many circumstances that the Torah enumerates. But we as Jews are directed to safeguard the mitzvot and make sure that with the examples, as the Ramban mentions in a parsha that's coming up normally would be this week, connected with Acharimot and Kedoshim, but I'm just going to jump ahead a little bit. In 2 weeks, we'll be reading Parsha Kedoshim. We use a lot of those examples as a guide. And when you do, says the Ramban, you'll be tov, you'll be a productive member of our world. You'll be yashar. You'll be a person who has integrity, being honest with your dealings with others, with yourselves, and you will internalize what it means going back to what really begins this discussion. You will be kadosh. You will be holy in the world God gave us, and distinct, that's holy, really distinct in your holy pursuits of the world. This example Rav Shmuley touched on, which will come in Parshat Kedoshim, which we often read, we speak about it in terms of the proper way to treat another person who's working with you, is the pasuk, Lo ta'ashok et re'acha, v'lo tigzol, lo talin pu'ulat sachir itcha ad boker. You should not defraud your fellow, it could be someone within Judaism, but I would like to think also that we're not only talking about Jewish people, but any fellow human being. You should not commit robbery, and the wages of a laborer should not remain with you until morning. We're going to read this very shortly. So this surely should be something, just like maybe before an old person you stand, or to respect your parents. Maybe that's something that you would say that we should intuit and know. But people need to be reminded, and especially when it comes to payment of our workers and the manner with which they're treated, we need to be mindful how to care for those who are at risk of being taken advantage of. The Gemara in Bava Metzia in 61a clarifies that this word lo tashok is referring to one who withholds the wages of a hired servant. And this is not merely in the way our employees are treated, which of course it is, but are they valued? If you're withholding money, are you truly valuing them and the work you do? Some of the stories that you just told and some of the stories that we're going to hear from Eddie, what is not stated here, which is an offshoot of Vasita Hayashar Ve'atov Ve'enei Elokim, which is what is the correct path to follow in the eyes of God when we don't pay our workers on time. We have to value their work. They are individuals who should be spoken to also with respect and given proper conditions under which they're working. With employers and employees, we know there is, of course, an inequity of power. The ones who have the money, the ones who pay out the money, and the ones who need that money. We within the Jewish people are commanded to not let that inequity of haves and have-nots cause us to lose our way and abuse the worker. This is referring to the fact that one will benefit while another can suffer. Abuse of a worker can be in the form of compensation, proper work conditions, respectful speech, a safe environment, and overall consideration for those who you work with. Because businesses, they make the most money possible. They want to make all the money possible. All too often, the place where employers are tempted to skimp is in the proper payment we make to our workers. The Torah reminds us with each mitzvah, Vasita Yashar Va'atov B'nei Hashem. And that's why I love the title, the what we call this Hashgach. Because this is not only Va'ahavta L'Recha Kamocha. This is not only do unto others as you would expect them to do unto you. Yes, it is. But make sure that what you do is correct and sustainable, not only for your business, but for humanity. Vasita Yashar Va'atov. Choose the proper path and most productive course of action. Any product of mistreatment or lack of being yashar cannot be considered kosher. Kosher is something that's good. That's good. You know, someone, goes to the mikveh. You say it's kosher. It's good. It works. It's It's your yotze, right? Kosher is not only the food. It's the something that's fit for us as Jews to benefit from and to feel complete in and to feel that we did what was necessary. The Tav HaYosher certification does not point fingers at employers, but it serves as a reminder. It's a guide, as Rav Shmuley pointed out, of how to produce what is kosher. This is not about specific ingredients in the food produced or prepared. It's about the ingredients of what makes this product fit for consumption. It is tainted, if not with the proper code of conduct toward a worker. If involving animals as well, that's Hashem's creations, and that also requires dignity. Tava Yosher has helped create these guidelines and been a wake-up call for employers not only to not underpay a worker, but to assist them in how to manage the hours and the work environment to create, by the way, not only a better connection between workers and their owners, but to really help these owners become better in terms of the product that they will ultimately do. And these owners who have taken this on, I want to say, and I mentioned this earlier before our Zoom began, that the owners are also people who should be celebrated for these 15 years because they see, and they see how much they benefit from having this kind of work environment, a reminder to them what the standards are to have a proper work environment. And this is a model for what it means to live a life that is yashar. We've just begun Sfirat HaOmer, the time period between Pesach and Shavuot, where we recall that the greatest students, the ones of Rabbi Akiva, who died of askara, of a breathing illness, 12,000 pears. Chazal teach us they were pears, right? Because they didn't see the other. They don't see 24,000 students. It was 12,000 pears. We have to give kavod one to the other. They knew, by the way, they knew from Rabbi Akiva how to love each other. But do they know how to respect each other? Do they know how to give dignity to each other? That could be why they lost their breath, what it means to be a member of humanity, what it means to be human beings. We are all given the breath of life. We are all in the image of God. This is what we work on before we can actually accept the Torah on Shavuos, what we're leading up to. This dignity, one to the other, is the prerequisite for Torah. For without it, the Torah is not followed properly. It is not kasher. When we take any mitzvah, learning Torah or mitzvah of kashrut, for example, it cannot be accomplished without dignity to all. This Tav HaYashar keeps it in mind. It is with deep respect, loyalty, and gratitude that we celebrate this milestone. The Tav HaYosher has grown, and the places that bear the seal are proud to be vigilant to see each person B'Tzelem Elokim. Thank you to all those who've really, Eddie and all his staff, who've gone in on the front lines, encouraging places to commit to this type of standard for kashrut. Thank you again, Rav Shmuley. Each sign we see, we are reminded that we're fortunate to have food and that the way we truly enjoy it is not merely in its ingredients and through the technical kashrut details, but in a way that does not cause harm, disrespect, or anything that would taint this food we are so fortunate to partake in. That is genuine kashrut and kedusha. I want to thank everyone for joining and for appreciating this incredible team that you see has put this forward and makes it possible for us. Wishing everyone a Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you so much for that message, the insightful message. We are going to now hear from Eddie, some stories and different things. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Dina. Oh my goodness. Hearing from both two rabbis that I have just been such incredible mentors to our work, it's just a gift. And to have all of us, all of our team here, to have our fellows, to have so many people that value our work, that uplift our work, just it makes my heart so warm. Y'all have no idea how much it means to me to be able to do this kind of work. And it hits really personally. I remember sitting down on a table outside on a spring day with Rabbi Shmuley when he talked to me, recently hiring me, about this initiative that he had that protected migrant worker rights. Little did Rabbi Shmuley know at that time, because he had barely gotten to know me, that my mother was undocumented, the majority, and still is undocumented. And I grew up undocumented. And funny enough, my mom always worked in restaurants. My mom always worked in restaurants. I was raised in restaurants. I remember coming home and smelling like fry grease because I would go and stay with my mom. And I would notice the complete mistreatment of workers. I would notice how the unseen were treated just like that, as if they didn't exist. One thing that is engraved in me is how Rabbi Shmuley always talks about, how do we uplift those who are unseen? How do we bring visibility to those people? And this initiative has truly brought visibility to those people. And it warms my heart to be able to do this work from the son of a mother who spends her time in the kitchen, both professionally and lovingly, to be able to help some folks out while uplifting some of the most beautiful Jewish ethics as possible. Just as we learned about the halachic values that really, really provide pathways for us to really dig deep on our own Jewish ethics and what we do, why we do what we do. But we also bring a little bit of Hesed into what we do. Taking time to step in and listen and truly listen to the workers. I could tell you that as soon as we walk into a restaurant and I say buenas tardes, the workers' eyes light up. They do not expect to see somebody like me wearing kippah and hear them speak Spanish. What is going on? What is happening? What is this Hebrew on your chest? What is going on? I explain to them that I am a proud Mexican Jew, and I actually want to hear about them. I actually want to hear how they are doing. How is your work experience? The complete shock. Who is this guy that wants to hear about my experience and about my work? Who is this guy that cares about being Jewish and understanding that this food called kosher means something more than just a certificate, but of a grounding deep in Jewish ethics? My friends, this is what riles us up to continue our work. And I hear stories like of one of our friends. As we were doing Tav checks, we heard one of our restaurants that we were doing a compliance check. We were coming into the restaurant and noticed that everybody was very, very quiet with us. We noticed that nobody was really, really talking to us. And I could see that people, like the tension was almost building up of something that was happening, that something that we weren't feeling was being said, but wanted to be said, as we said, okay, well, we'll come back if you feel safer. A man stepped out and talked to me in Spanish. He said, amigo, my friend, can I talk to you? I said, of course. As tears rolled down his eyes, he said, I see you praying three times a day, the owners here and you wearing the little hat, you pray three times a day. And yet we are paid nothing. And yet our checks bounce. And yet we don't have breaks. He said, amigo, my friend, I think we pray to the same God. There must be some confusion on how we're praying. But I pray that someday my rights can also be heard. We sat down with this man and explained to him specifically what we were doing with the top. Sat down and showed him the list of restaurants that were on our compliance that he could also seek employment in. That there was restaurants that were willing to uplift his rights and not just shun away from treating him and seeing him as a human being. He stared at us looking at our pamphlets and our paperwork, and was shocked to see that we had some rights that were labeled clearly in Spanish, and he had no idea how a local group of Jews cared so much about him, but he knew that at that moment in time, he felt seen. That at that moment in time, he felt uplifted. And that if he knew now that there was restaurants that were willing to see him as a person and have the basic ethics of allowing him to take time to pay him at least the federal minimum wage, pay him back any overtime, he knew that now he had options. He also knew that there was somebody there who could help him. And my friends, just last year, he texted me a picture of his family at their graduation. That to me are the stories that make me continue to advocate and go into restaurants. That's what keeps us going. And see, my friends, the TAV, it just doesn't stand for justice, but I feel the TAV, it truly, truly embodies Darche Shalom and creating pathways to peace, not just for the employees, but also for the employers. Peace that brings in a celebration of kashrut. Peace that celebrates the amazing treatment of workers. Because when you have a happy team, happy production happens. And we start to see a cyclicalness of elevation where communities start to work together, where we're proudly Jewish, proudly standing up for justice, and proudly elevating those who are unseen. And I thank every single one of you for being a part of this today and being a part of our celebration of 15 years that I've, for 15 of those years, five of those, I've had the honor to work side by side with all of Uri Litzedek staff, board, and employees and supporters. I see so many rabbis here who have supported us from afar, from close. So many folks who take their time to be compliance officers and walking. And I can tell you that walking from Riverdale all the way to Manhattan is tiring and it takes it out of you. But I always think back to those folks who are working on pennies a day and they're not tired. So if I can be a beacon and being able to be a light that shines on those, then so be it. And may we continue to fight for justice. May Uri Litzedek continue to be blessed with Rabbi Shmuley's leadership. And may we all help bring light to those who are unseen. Thank you, all of you, for coming.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Rav Dina and Eddie, for all of that. And friends, we're gonna end in about 6 or 7 minutes. But I just want us to dream together a little bit here before we do that. And before that, I just want to give a shout out to Rav Asher LePatton, who, whether he was in Chicago or New York or Michigan, he has been, you know, a champion of the TAV Yosher. So thank you. And we partnered on this Uyghur Genocide Conference in New York City right before Pesach, flew from Detroit to be at the Uyghur Genocide Conference and then flew back right before Pesach. So it was very inspiring. So thank you for being with us. So friends, part of the dream is that we just continue to have the chizuk, we continue to have the strength to just maintain course, to continue to do compliance checks, to continue to deepen trust with owners, deepen trust with workers, deepen trust with consumers, continue to expand our marketing efforts. But the dreams also are beyond. And I want to share just a few of those that our team has talked about. One is how we can one day implement worker empowerment workshops, organize regular workshops for workers, including migrants, to educate them about their rights, labor laws, avenues for seeking support in cases of workplace issues. We want to launch health and wellness initiatives that are tailored to the needs of restaurant workers, including access to healthcare services, mental health support, and wellness programs. We want to have develop relationships with legal aid clinics to collaborate with these organizations to provide free or low-cost legal assistance to workers who are dealing with challenges. Cultural exchange programs where we can facilitate these initiatives between Jewish restaurant staff and the workers to foster mutual understanding and appreciation beyond the workplace. Community partnerships where we can forge partnerships with local community organizations, faith-based groups, and advocacy networks to amplify the impact of the worker advocacy program. Technology solutions that have new apps to better streamline our data and to process the compliance checks, facilitate reporting workplace issues, and disseminate information about these labor rights and resources, and so much more. And of course, another aspect is that a dream of the Or L'Goyim, a dream of the Jewish consciousness, that what Rav Aaron Lichtenstein called the challenge of frum hedonism, that sadly throughout Jewish history, there's been so many times where Jews struggle to have food. There's still Jews who struggle to have food, of course, right? Today, our struggle is oftentimes the opposite. We have too much. We forget what it's about. We waste so much. We lose the ethical dimension beyond that. So it's a revolution that the Jews can be on the front lines of advocating for ethical consumption. And friends, of course, also the dream that one day we can move beyond restaurants, move beyond caterers, we can get into suppliers, we can move beyond Kashrut itself. But this is very hard because many, many times in social action, people follow the headlines of the day. The headlines change minute to minute, day to day. And we've never had a major funder for Tava Yosher. And it's been years since we had any press, but we're going to continue to do it because we think it's right, even if it's not in the headlines, continue to do this. And friends, so what can you do? What can you do? There's so many ways to plug in. Of course, you can be a compliance officer, whether you give 3 hours a month or you give 3 hours a year, be able to step up and support us in that. You can always donate to this program to keep it sustained. You can talk to the restaurant you go to. Just mention it on your way in, your way out, about how great you think this is. Create a connection. So beyond the Tava Yosher program, my question for everyone here is, do you have your own ethical kashrut policy? Is there one standard you're committed to in your own life? Right? Is there one standard that you are committed to each year that ensures that there's something you don't buy because it is morally suspect, right? Just as there's many things we don't buy because it's suspect of not being kosher the Pesach, right? Is there one thing we don't buy? I don't mean doing a mitzvah one time a year and buying a fair trade gelt or one time a year going to a tav place. I mean, what's the thing we're not going to buy that we're going to demonstrate some commitment in our lives? So friends, that's the conclusion of our program. We're being totally honest that this is so challenging 15 years later. And for me, I was always, it's got to be an A+ or you stop. And I'm grateful to the board and to the staff who continue to give me strength to say, you know what, even if it's not growing, you know, rapidly each day, right, we have to stay in the game. We have to stay in the game and continue to make progress each year, which we continue to do. And, you know, continue to commit to what this is about, not only because of what it represents, but because of what it's achieving each year. Before I hand it over to Reb Eli to just close over here, I want to just celebrate with a Simen Tov u'Mazel Tov, the workers involved, owners involved, the hundreds of places we've signed on. You know, even though there's less on now because many of those restaurants have closed, many failed to comply with the standards, the hundreds of places that each volunteer got to sign on, and all of you who I know are committed to this and to the idea, which I believe will not be a footnote in history, but will be a chapter in Jewish history. Just like I was so inspired when I saw the footnotes of history of the rabbis in the 1960s who joined the Cesar Chavez boycott of the grape industry, right, in the 60s, whether they were Reform, conservative, Orthodox, that their commitment to that gave us such an inspiration. Oh, Simin Tovu, Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov, Simin Tov, Simin Tov, Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov, Simin Tov, Simin Tov, Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov, Simin Tov, yay, la, new friends. We should continue to have Siman, we should continue to have good Mazel, we should continue to have Hishtadlut, to do all we can to elevate this project together. Reb Eli's going to give our closing. Thank you all so much.
Yeah, thank you so much, Eddie, Rav Shmuley, Rav Dina. So inspiring. If you're interested like I am in having the inspiration continue and in knowing how you can continue to shift your own personal religious consciousness, which is the real key to everything that we're doing here, well, Uri Litzedek has the programming for you. Coming up, we have Bastions of Torah Value that are discussing topics of great import. The next one is next Thursday, May 8th at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Responsibility in an Age of Globalization by Diana Ginsberg, the CEO of Olam. Then on Thursday, May 23rd at 12 p.m. Eastern Time, we have Faith versus Truth in the Hasidic Tradition by Rabbi Mel Gottlieb. And Thursday, May 30th at 12 p.m. Eastern Time, Mind Your Own Business, Balancing Communal Responsibility and Personal Autonomy by Rabbi Avi Narod-Tolansky. These are incredible conversations that I just learned so much every time, and a chance to be in conversation about real social justice issues that matter to the Jewish world. One last plug, June 18th at 12 p.m. Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern time, Rav Shmuley is going to be talking about the state of the Jewish vegan movement. That is something that I think is not missable. It's really a topic of great import. Thank you everyone so much for coming tonight.